everybody. Welcome to Cheat Day, where every day is a reason to celebrate you. I'm your host, Kristen, preferred gender pronouns, she, her, hers.
And I am your host, Frankie, preferred gender pronouns, he, him, his.
Today is episode number one, y'all.
Yes.
Title of episode is This Is Us. Topic today, who we are and why we want to do this podcast. So we're going to start with bios.
Yes, we're going to have a little bit of information for you all.
Quick, tight bios, a little something about Frankie.
Yes, I don't know about quick, but okay. It will be tight.
I like that. I like the sound of that. Okay. So do we want to start with your facts?
We can.
So we're going to jump right in. We're going to go into fun facts about Frankie.
Well, some of them are fun.
We're going to go into facts about Frankie. Yes,
not alternative.
Not alternative facts, but the real deal. Fact number one is that you were born in the beautiful island of Puerto Rico to Dominican parents.
Correct. And Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico are right next to each other in the Caribbean. And yes, I was born in that beautiful island. And it was an amazing early childhood for me. You know, I could go to the beach and do all of that. But also, when I was born, that was sort of like the first time that I felt different. Because at that time, a lot of Dominicans were traveling to Puerto Rico for a better life. So they were sort of seen in a negative light. I was sort of stuck in the middle. I wasn't Puerto Rican enough for the Puerto Ricans. I wasn't Dominican enough for the Dominicans. So it was a difficult thing for a child to wrap their brain around. But other than that, I think my early childhood was great.
And you were also a creative child who dreamed of being a singer, dancer, actor, and designer.
Yes, I was a triple, quadruple threat singer, actor, homosexual.
Yeah. Yes. Throw that in at the end.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, and even now as an adult, I've always been fascinated by entertainment and fashion, art, something that I've always wanted to do, but I haven't always had the courage to do it. But yeah, as a child, I would put on shows for my mom, and my dad didn't enjoy it as much. My mom was all about it.
She was living for it.
She lived.
When you were 11, your father had a massive stroke.
Yes. And I think this was one of those events, one of those like milestones that we have throughout our lives that really shaped my life and affected me in ways that are still visible today. I think that was also around the time that I became really aware of all of my difference. So at least at that time. So I was a mixed nationality child. I had a disabled parent. I was physically larger than my peers. And although I didn't have the language for it at that time, I felt a certain way about other boys. And it was not about bromances, but I just didn't know what that was. But I was aware that I was different.
Right. At 13, you moved to Providence, Rhode Island.
Sure did. And just for a little reference, it's right below Boston.
Below.
Right below.
Right below.
Because everybody keeps asking, where is that? People, we are very much a state. We are the smallest one, but we are there.
Very tiny, but...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but Brown University is there.
Go in.
Rhode Island School of Design.
That's right.
Respected.
Living.
Yes. At 13, as if all of those differences that I mentioned before were not enough for a teen to sort of deal with, I had to move to the U.S., which, you know, I was happy with. It was definitely a positive thing for me. But as soon as I came here, it was sort of pointed out and made very clear to me that I was all of a sudden considered a person of color. So that was an adjustment. So during my high school years, I didn't think about sexuality. I just was focused on fitting in. I just wanted to be just another kid going to school. And it wasn't until college that I started to take a serious look at what sexual orientation meant for me. I actually read an article on Rolling Stone magazine titled Young, Gay, and Proud. And there they mentioned, I think it was relating the story of a bunch of young LGBT people. And they talked about going to sort of groups. And also, I think this was the time where gay-straight alliances were on the rise. And they talked about drop-in centers. And I just was curious if there was anything like that. And anything like that existed within a 25-mile radius of me.
Right.
And I looked it up. You know, I went, I took it. Well, it wasn't Google at that time, but whatever it was, the internet was at its infancy.
Right.
And I was able to find a place, and I went, and it was wonderful. I had my first boyfriend.
Yeah.
We lasted a week.
Okay.
That has been my longest relationship to
date. Okay, okay.
Just kidding. But yeah, no, it was wonderful, and I met really great people that are my friends to this day.
Aww.
So...
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was.
So your newly found teenage queerness,
yes,
was not without difficulty.
It wasn't, because, you know, as you walk into this community, you think that you have found your people and that you will be welcomed with open arms and everybody, rainbow this, rainbow that. We love everyone.
Kumbaya.
We accept you just as you are, but they don't. You know, I was and still am bigger, and that is not considered attractive by a lot of people. What is considered attractive in the gay community, you know, what society has dictated that is attractive, is white, muscular, masculine, and I am none of those things. It was a difficult thing for me to accept at 18.
Right. Well, so your 20s, the struggle was real, Frankie.
As a result of what I just discussed, I battled with, you know, self-esteem issues and a lack of self-confidence. And that pushed me to pursuing relationships with emotionally unavailable men.
Right.
And of course, we know that that's not going to end well.
Mm-hmm.
I was just searching for validation in all the wrong places.
Completely relate to that. Mm. During your 30s, it's been a bit of a roller coaster of emotions. Mm.
So speaking of things ending badly, I got into a relationship that I thought was going to be my forever, and it wasn't. It ended actually really badly, and, you know, we both did things to each other that I'm not proud of. But in life, you have to sort of learn your lessons and move forward, which is what I've tried to do with that.
Right.
And I decided to move to LA. That was my second move across the nation.
Right.
I've met some incredible people throughout this journey, including Kristen here.
Oh, stop.
Who I love.
Okay. So all throughout your life, Frankie, there have been a few things that have remained. Your love for all things entertainment, your love for fashion, but also being consumed by negative thoughts, food restrictions, and diets.
Yes. So all my life, like I mentioned earlier, I've been obsessed with entertainment. I wanted to, you know, be an actor, and music and fashion has always been something that I've been passionate about and things that I still want to pursue. But the things that have held me back, all those thoughts are still there. And I think until I address those things, then I'm still going to have a problem. So I am now sort of making a conscious effort to align mind, body, and soul to find my happy. I want to take all of those parts of myself that set me apart and give them power. I want to not only embrace my different, but also celebrate it. And I think that this is the beginning of a journey that will allow me to feel at home in my skin.
Yes, Frankie. And I'm super grateful I get to be a part of your journey.
Thank you. And I'm really grateful that you are a part of my journey, because I respect you and love you and have learned a lot from you. So I'm really excited to embark on this podcast with
Absolutely.
Okay. So now that we've gotten all emotional.
Yes. We're going to keep that ball rolling.
Correct. We're just going to go.
We're going to stay emotional.
We are on the emotional train.
Choo-choo.
So we are going to now talk to Kristen.
Hey.
And I have some facts about you.
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to share some more, add to what I have.
Okay, got you.
Kristen,
mm-hmm.
This is your life.
Yes.
You were born and raised in Kent, Washington.
I was in a little suburb about 20 minutes south of Seattle. So not that far from the city and not that far from Alki, which is like the main beach.
Mm-hmm.
But cute little suburb.
Nice. Pacific Northwest.
That's right. Woo woo.
Represent.
Representing.
Okay. Let's not get crazy.
Okay. Sorry.
So growing up,
uh-huh.
You were super close with your grandparents on your mom's side.
I was. My nanny and papa were an amazing couple. They loved each other. They were supportive of each other. And it was a healthy relationship, one of the healthy relationships that I got to see growing up. And we always had so much fun over at their house. They had toys for us. We would play the Atari. We would play Pac-Man and Frogger. And my grandpa would peel oranges and cut apples for us. Oh. And he loved orange slices. And I was a fiend for candy. So I'd always ask my brother to go ask Papa for orange slices because I just didn't have the balls. I was like, I don't want to ask. You ask.
Okay.
I want those orange slices.
Living for the orange slices.
They're delicious.
Yeah. So your household was made up of mom, and then you have a brother and a sister.
I do. My parents divorced when I was in eighth grade, so my mom did most of the raising us, but my dad was still somewhat a part of the picture, although I don't know a whole lot about my dad because he doesn't really like sharing.
Okay.
And I have an older sister, and I have a younger brother, and I wish I could say we were super close. We're not super close, but I love my family. And all I've ever really wanted was a tight-knit family. And I've been able to create that here in Los Angeles for myself.
Perfect. So speaking of Los Angeles, when you were 21 is when you made the decision to move here from Kent.
Yeah, I got a call from a friend who was going to be in LA for a couple of months. And so I picked everything up. I sold my stuff. I packed my 83 Nissan Sentra and I drove to LA for a better life and something different. And 15 years later, that's exactly what I got.
And also, I think one of the things that I love about Los Angeles is all the possibilities. And that's the reason why a lot of young people move here, just for the possibilities. And you actually had a dream of becoming a stand-up comic.
I did. I wanted to pursue stand-up comedy. You know, that was one of the things that I heard most frequently was, "You're so funny." You know, in high school, I had most contagious laugh. I was the class clown. I wasn't the most popular, but I definitely always had laughter going on around me. And I definitely get that from my grandmother and my mother. Mm-hmm. We all love to laugh and tell stupid jokes and be inappropriate. And I thought, why not? Why not just give it a go and see what happens? I took a class. It kind of gave me the outline of what you needed to do to get started in comedy. And I did open mics for 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And I actually stopped doing stand-up comedy when I got sober because I was just in too much pain. And pain isn't really funny if you're still in pain. So I actually quit comedy right after I got my first paid gig. I actually did a show for a college in the Valley. Mm-hmm. I got $150 to do a 15-minute set. Wow. I killed.
Yes.
I had a lot of fun. Was like, I came, I saw, I conquered. It's time to stop doing stand-up comedy now. Yeah. But I've always wanted to return at some point in my life. I love being creative. I love being silly and cracking people up. And it is something that I have not completely set all the way down as of yet.
Mm. Okay, great. You think that the struggles are necessary and have shaped the woman that you are today?
Very much so. I mean, some of the struggles that I've had in my life is I have an eating disorder. I was diagnosed bipolar at 26, you know, during that time that I thought I was Mother Earth. And I'm a recovering addict. And I can't imagine the person I would be today if I hadn't gone through all of those things. It really has made me a compassionate, understanding, empathetic, loving, open-minded person. And I feel like I can relate to many different kinds of people because I've been through the experiences I've been through. And I am so grateful for that. So this is the Q&A.
Yeah.
This is the Q&A portion of our show.
It is.
Of our first show.
And we actually came up with 5 questions. I came up with 5. For Kristen, and Kristen came up with 5 questions for myself.
And now we're going to ask them.
Usually, yeah.
That's what happens in a Q&A.
That's how it works.
Okay, Frankie.
Yes, Kristen.
Question number 1.
Okay, I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Feels like a test.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But don't worry, you can't fail these questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't fail. What did you think you wanted to be when you grew up?
Well, as if you couldn't tell by my bio, I wanted to be an entertainer a lot of my early life, music was a big, huge, I mean, it still is, but music and singing was really a big part of my life. And I thought that that's what I wanted to do, as well as acting. And I always loved fashion. But singing, I think, was something that I took with me well into my 20s. But it didn't really materialize or go the way that I wanted to. And now I think I see more of the fashion side of things.
So you wanted to be an entertainer, singing-wise. Mm-hmm. Singing, correct. Music, things like that.
Correct.
But now you're seeing more, like,
yeah,
fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been fascinated by fashion. And I love the visuals, and I love clothing, and I love putting things together. So I've always had an affinity for that. So I think I will definitely would want to start making some progress there. Mm-hmm. Explore some things that I haven't. It's never too late.
That's right. Question number two. What are the top three favorite things about yourself today?
Oh my God. About myself, like as a person, or about myself, anything?
About any, like any level, layer of yourself, the way you look, the way you talk, mm-hmm. your spiritual mm-hmm. aura, your language, okay. like whatever.
Okay. Well, I think my safe zone, like I've always, every time people ask me, like, what do you like about yourself mm-hmm. physically? Well, my eyes I like about myself a
yeah.
lot. Yes, mamas. I love my eyes, always have. I like the way that I express myself in writing.
Yes.
I can't always gather my thoughts all immediately as soon as I hear a question or somebody expresses a thought and I have an idea. So for me, it's much easier to put it down on paper.
Yeah.
And I think I can do that effectively. That was two things. So I need a third. I like this sweater that I'm wearing. It's cute. It's from ASOS.
It is super cute. I love it.
Thank you, mama.
Blue. Is that like a khaki up top?
Yeah, and it's got like a V.
Living for the V.
Yeah.
It's giving me life.
So I enjoy it. So those are three things.
I love it.
There.
I love it. Good. Go win. Go win, Frankie.
Thank you.
Okay, question number three.
Bring it.
What do you see in the future when it comes to romance?
Oh my God, that is a loaded question. Oh my God.
You're like, this bitch.
What are you doing
to
me?
What are you doing to me?
I don't know, is what I see. I don't know. And I mean, not to say that I haven't spent time with people. Mm-hmm. I haven't really gone that deep.
Right.
Let's just say that.
Right.
I think I need time to take care of me and to figure out what I'm doing, where I'm going. I want to be free to do all that and explore my life and my career and my path before I bring somebody else into the equation. You have to figure out your shit. And I want to figure out my shit.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. Most people in relationships, they want you to like somewhat have some things figured out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think that I always say there are two things that I know for sure that I want. Mm-hmm. I want to have a puppy and I want a kid.
That's right.
Those are two things.
Puppies and babies, I live.
Puppies and babies.
Question number four.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
Just four.
I don't think they get harder. I think we got the two hardest out of the way.
Okay.
Question number four. How do you practice self-love and self-acceptance?
Oh.
Is that a loaded question?
That is.
Oh, okay. I lied.
No, because I know, I mean, and I have to share, I have to be completely honest.
Okay.
I know, you know, both Kristen and myself are both plus-size people. Mm-hmm. But you, Kristen, are in a very different space than I am.
Okay.
I think my journey is still in sort of the early stages as far as self-love and acceptance.
Right.
This podcast, for me, is practicing self-acceptance because I am putting myself out there in a way that I haven't before. Because everything for me before was, when I lose the weight, I'm going to do this. When I lose the weight, I'm going to wear that. And I'm going to go here and I'm going to meet this person. Where now, I mean, and it sounds crazy to say that I would have waited to lose weight to do a podcast, but I would have,
mm-hmm. you know, yeah.
because that's how it works in my head.
Yeah.
So just doing this and leaving my house to come to your house
yep.
to work on this.
Yes.
And put myself and my thoughts out there. I think I'm practicing self-acceptance right now.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good.
And I love it. I do.
Thank you.
We've known each other what?
Well, I mean, I think we've known each other for 5 years.
Give or take.
Yeah.
But as far as really having more of a closer relationship.
About a year. Yeah.
Right? A lot of kikis.
Correct.
And
we share an office.
We do share an office. We work at the same place.
Yes.
And we share an office.
Yeah.
And I have seen such growth in you in the last year.
Thank you.
Like when we first met and started sharing an office until now. The way you dress, the way you carry yourself, the way you talk about things, the way you feel about yourself, your willingness to explore the inner workings of Frankie and where your messaging has come from and why you think the things you think and why you feel the way you do. It's so amazing to get to see the courage that you're practicing and the self-love and the self-acceptance of like, this is who I am, and who I am is I'm an amazing man today.
Oh, thank you.
So it's such an honor to be a part of your journey.
Oh, thank you.
And
means a lot coming from you.
Well, thank you, Frankie.
This is such a love fest.
It's
right
a love
now.
We're so. I was gonna say we're so far up each other's asses right now. Like, damn, they really like each other.
But we do.
We live for each other.
Yeah, this has been like a really Kristen Frankie heavy episode. It's our first one.
Yeah.
It is not gonna be like that. That we're gonna have other topics other than us and how much we love each other.
Yeah.
But
just
wait.
So we're all clear on that.
Yes. So we still have one more question.
We
to
have
go.
One. Oh, but this is like the fun one.
Okay.
Okay, this isn't a loaded question.
Okay.
If you were rich
yeah.
and never had to work another day in your life,
yes.
what would you do with your time and money?
I think that I would definitely spend my money helping the community. We have a big problem in not only Los Angeles, but it's really prevalent here of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young people that are homeless.
Yep.
So I would help there. As far as myself personally, with my time, I would love to travel.
Yes.
I would purchase my parents a home.
That's right.
And I would just really enjoy just not having a 9-to-5.
Yeah, dream come true.
Yes.
Like, what? I only have to do things if I want to?
Correct. Just, yeah, your passion projects.
Right?
I'll take on passion projects.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you, Frankie.
Thank you. And that definitely, those were some good questions.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have 5 questions for you.
Okay, let's do this.
I don't know if, I don't know how good, I mean, it's a tough act to follow with
you. Oh, stop.
In many ways. Okay, so the first question I have is, who is someone who has had a meaningful impact in your life?
That's a good question. I think about immediate surroundings, like people in my life growing up that I actually knew and had relationships with that were very impactful. I would say my mother and my grandmother were very impactful. They were very sassy women. The love and the laughter and the joke telling and all of that stuff, that definitely has impacted who I am today, and there's a lot of meaningful impact within all of that. My mother was also a little crazy.
Yeah.
Which that's impacted me too.
I bet.
And you know, it's funny. It's you get all the good and all the bad from the parents that they impact, right? They impact, they influence, they shape who we are as we, you know, grow and become adults in our own people.
Yeah.
But when I think about people on TV or in music or artists that impacted me, I would say there's 3 people that kind of stand out in my mind right now as you ask me this question. I would say Oprah.
Okay.
Because she was a powerful woman in the industry. I loved watching her show. Mm-hmm. I loved her topics. I love Oprah.
Yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Perfect.
I remember when she came out on the show and, you know, I knew about the LGBT community and part of the LGBT community, but I hadn't really explored that part of me yet. And I just remember that being very impactful for me.
Yeah.
That when she came out on her show. And then, you know, fast forward 20 years later, give or take, I got to go to the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Wow.
My girlfriend at the time had got us tickets, and we went. And when Ellen came out, I cried.
Oh.
I could not even.
That's
just
so
because,
sweet.
You know, she is so true to who she is, and
yes.
she has never backed down.
Yes.
She's always been who she is, and if you didn't like it, she really could have given 2 shits about you.
Yeah.
And she's so successful today.
Absolutely.
And then the third is Susan Powder. Do you remember Susan
Powder?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. My God.
Stop the insanity. I just remember watching. watching those infomercials and just being so enthralled with her white blonde crew
from head
cut.
To toe.
Oh my gosh.
The sports bra.
Just so fabulous.
Some heels.
Just stopping the insanity. I'm just I live for Susan Powder, and I wonder where she is today.
I wonder.
I do. I am curious, but I loved those infomercials.
Yeah.
I was a stay up late kind of kid.
Me too.
And I loved watching
cool, great
infomercials, but yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so the second question that I have for you.
Uh-huh.
What did a 12-year-old Kristen dream about?
I think the 12-year-old me just wanted to be happy. Mm. Honestly, I think the 12-year-old me wanted to feel happy because I was a very depressed kid. Mm-hmm. And I think the 12-year-old me wanted a family that was healthy, that got along, that, you know, that had parents that liked each other.
Wow.
I really think that's what the 12-year-old me wanted.
Yeah.
I think it was really as simple as that. It was just a loving, encouraging family, which I had a family.
Yeah.
And they loved me.
Yeah.
I don't know about how encouraging they were.
Correct.
But, yeah, that's what the 12-year-old me wanted, just the simple things in life, just love and acceptance and encouragement from her family.
What every kid really should have.
Yeah.
Question number 3.
Okay.
What was the exact moment, if you can pinpoint, that led you to embracing who you are today?
Okay. I believe that specific journey started when I went to treatment for an eating disorder. I never knew I had an eating disorder. I just always thought I was quote unquote fat and lazy, and I just needed to stop eating so much and work out.
Yeah.
And it was as simple as that, because that's what everyone has told me my entire life, or my entire life that I've spent overweight. The day I was in my therapist's office and she said, you know, you have an eating disorder, you have BED, you have binge eating disorder, and I'm also a starver. And I said, I want to go to treatment. And she said, okay, we're going to send you to treatment. I think was the first step I had taken in my life to address that part of me. Because I also was very much like, I'll be happy when I lose 100 pounds. I'll be happy when my stomach's flat. I'll be happy when I'm skinny again. And I show all those jerks that I dated that I am worthy and beautiful and fabulous. And, you know, that's when life started. And since going to treatment, which was about 3 years ago, I have been able to really embrace me, my size, who I am, and put emphasis on the things that really are important when it comes to being a human being, which my body is simply the thing that carries who I really am around. It's not the end all be all.
Correct.
And it's not what gives me value. Even though that's what I'm not led to believe. I'm led to believe that my body is what gives me value.
Correct.
How big my tits are, how big my ass is, like whatever the fad is at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I did have that experience, because it just started this ripple effect in my life where, you know, I go to groups, I go to therapy, I do a lot of things to maintain and continue to evolve and grow in this area of my life as far as really accepting who I am today on all levels. But it's a daily effort.
Absolutely.
I wish I could just wake up every day and be like, everything's fine. But it's like, I got to wake up every day and be like, okay, what do we need to figure out? How's the mental health? How's the eating disorder? Yeah. You know, what are you going to wear to work? Are you going to feel good about it? You know, it's like the first hour of the day of just like trying to check all the things off the list so that I can go and just, you know, be my amazing self.
Great answer.
Oh, thank you.
So good.
Oh.
Taking notes.
Okay.
All right. So my fourth question, and I'm actually going to switch it up on you.
Okay.
Because this question came up from when you asked me about a love life.
Okay.
So for everybody out there who doesn't know, which I don't think is everybody.
Anybody.
Because, you know, we haven't mentioned it yet. But Kristen's married.
I am.
And you have been married for some time.
Well, for 2 years. For 2 years, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, you are winning in the love department.
Pretty successful right now. Yeah.
So what do you think are some of the things that have led you there? Like, what are some you know, maybe advice that you can give or something that worked for you as far as like finding love or how, because, you know, we have shared some things and
right.
we have some history that sort of in common as far as like relationship and dating and going for the
unavailable man
and all yes. of that. So what clicked, what changed, what led you to this happy ending?
You know, I think it was a couple of things. So I remember I got to a point, this was probably a couple of months before Andy and I got back into touch. That's my husband.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm supposed to use his name. Andy, you've been outed. I won't give you last name or social security, but
right.
his name's Andy. I remember a few months before we started talking again, because we were in and out of touch over the span of like 12 years, I had decided that I was done dealing with unavailable, abusive, dysfunctional, shitty men. Because I was really mostly dealing with men. And had decided that being alone was better than being in a situation where I was not being treated with respect or being treated the way that I deserve to be treated just as a human being, like mm-hmm. just baseline.
Yeah.
And I allowed a lot of people into my life that treated me like crap because it's you know, it's kind of what I saw growing up. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have the opportunity to see a lot of healthy relationships with the exception of my grandparents. Yeah. And I had finally gone to a point in my life where I said I was done. I didn't want to do that anymore, and I knew if I ever wanted something different, I had to do something different. So when we met back up again, my husband and I had tried to date a couple of times, and I kept ghosting him.
Yeah.
Because he was just too nice.
Yeah.
You know, at that point in my life, that just was not attractive to me.
Mm-hmm.
You treat me with respect. You're emotionally available. You're a hip, cool cat. You're nice. You're sweet.
Like,
you're
fuck you.
Exactly. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Who the fuck you think you are? Being all nice. But yeah, I had just gotten to a point where I was curious as to what would happen if I embarked on a journey with somebody who actually treated me the way I deserved to be treated. I think one of the things that's really important, because I hear this a lot and I definitely have been there, is I love my husband for who he is today, not who I think he should be or who I think he could be,
wow.
but for like who he is today. And same, he loves me. He loves my wackadoodle self. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs half the time. He's a very patient man, you know, and he knew what he was signing on for, and he loves me through and through. Like,
yeah.
good, bad, and indifferent. He yeah. loves who I am as a person.
Perfect.
He always says that I amaze him,
mm-hmm.
which is his way of saying I annoy him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really good about reframing things. He's like, you don't annoy me. You amaze me sometimes. Wow. But I think that was probably one of the key things was just, I know this is a really long answer, but
one laying of the, down the knowledge.
Really, really, really long answer. I could talk for days on this. But yeah, just that I think that we get into relationships. I have gone into relationships thinking, oh, you could be such a great guy and I'm going to be the one to inspire you to change. And it's like, when someone tells you they're a piece of shit, just take their word for it.
Absolutely.
You, take their word for it, believe what they're saying, and then make your decision. Is this worth it, or is it not worth my time?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And my husband and my relationship is based out of trust, respect. We honor each other. We're faithful. Mm. You know, I trust the man.
Perfect.
And I respect the man.
Amazing.
And I love who he is today.
Yes.
Go in.
All of those things.
Sorry, really long answer.
I'm still taking notes.
Okay.
Just taking notes. For later.
Are you being serious? Okay.
Taking mental
You're
notes.
Like, do you see me taking notes? Do you see a pen in my hand?
Okay, so we're going to, the last question is going to be a light one.
Okay, cool.
So, if you had to eat only the same three things.
Okay.
One breakfast, one lunch, and one dinner.
Okay.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
What would those three things be?
Okay, first of all, pizza for dinner.
Okay.
Every day, all day. Okay, so I would say a bowl of cereal for breakfast. No, a breakfast burrito.
Yeah.
From pretty much any place in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Breakfast burrito. And for lunch, for the rest of my life. So
yeah.
Pizza for dinner, breakfast burrito for lunch,
yep.
or breakfast burrito for breakfast, hence the breakfast burrito.
Yeah.
And then for lunch, cheeseburger.
Okay. So, yeah.
I live for cheeseburgers. You do. Live for them.
Yeah, they're delicious.
That's my short answer.
Okay, perfect.
That was a lot. I'm sorry.
No, it is good.
Okay.
So I guess since we are asking questions, I think one major question is,
yeah,
why are we doing this podcast?
Right.
So is there anything that you'd like to share?
You know, I work really hard. I have a very stressful job, as most people do.
Yeah.
I happen to work in the helping profession, and I work with young people, and it can be very, very stressful. And I have always been a creative person, and since I got clean and sober, I've had a hard time diving back into being creative. I used to paint. I used to draw. I used to sculpt. I used to do stand-up comedy. And for a long time, I've been trying to figure out what I can do that is creative, that I love to do, and I do regardless, you know, of whether I'm being recorded or not. And something I love to do is talk to people. Mm. I love talking to people.
You do.
On the phone, yep. In person. Yep. It's got to be one of those two things. I am not a texter.
Which is funny, because I think you're probably the only person
in the world
that I know that will call you before they text you.
I will call you. she calling. I love talking to people. I just love the human connection, and I feel like this podcast is a great way to be creative, connect with the community. You know, when we get into season two of the show, we want to start bringing in guests.
Absolutely.
And connecting on those levels, and I just think this is such a fun way of incorporating all the things I like to do, mm-hmm. just naturally. Mm-hmm. And so here we are.
Perfect. Yeah, you couldn't have said it better. And I do agree, yeah, that this is the perfect combination of all the things that we love doing. Specifically for me, I really want to talk about fashion, because I think that's something that's really important for me, and to have available fashion for people who are not, your smaller sizes. Because most places go up to, a 2XL. Mm. For people who are beyond that, where do we go to find things that we deserve to look good and to feel good?
Yes.
So to talk about those things, talk about the places who are doing good work, talk about the people who are doing amazing work and really at the forefront of this movement, because we like to call it a movement because it's happening. And it's and people are doing a lot. You just have to. All you have to do is open social media and see every day somebody's doing something mm-hmm. and putting themselves out there mm-hmm. in order to fight for the things that we want, because they're not going to hand it to us because people think that we don't matter. So we have to show them that we do matter. So we need as many voices as possible. So we are just two voices here that are joining this movement. Mm-hmm. That's as simple as that, and we hope to hear all of your voices and maybe inspire some people to also join this movement.
Yes.
Yes.
I love it. I agree with that. Thanks for listening to Cheat Day Podcast. Join us for our next episode where we're going to be discussing diet culture.
Oh, yippee.
Who doesn't love a good diet?
Well, I can think of one person.
I know. Make that two. Hit us up on our social media. You can check us out on Instagram at Cheat Day Podcast, or hit us up on Twitter on Cheat Day PCast. You can also get in touch with us at our Gmail at cheatdaypcast@gmail.com.